Daniel chapter 3. Before we read verse 19, I want to take a second for those of you who are new. We want to welcome you to Vision Church, especially if this is your first time here. You showed up right on time this morning. We are in part 3 of a series called Tests and Trials. And I'm trusting and believing that this morning I'm going to get out of the way a little bit and the Holy Spirit is just going to speak right to you where you are today. I'm just believing that he's going to be made strong in the middle of my weakness and that when his word goes forth, it will not return void, but it will accomplish exactly what it was sent out and purposed to do. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background of what's happening here in Daniel, the third chapter, before we pick up. Daniel chapter 3 is one of the most infamous chapters in all of the Bible, especially the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 3 is about three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three famous dudes who refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar, and they were thrown into the furnace. But I just want to take a second to just recap the beginning of chapter 3 in Daniel. What you got to understand here is that Nebuchadnezzar was ruling in Babylon, and this was one of the most powerful empires, one of the most powerful nations in all of the world, and in all of antiquity for that matter. There were not many empires or nations that were any more powerful than Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar. And where the Bible picks up in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, in all of his power and in all of his might, he assembles and erects a 90-foot golden statue that is devoted to his God, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but the God of Nebuchadnezzar. And right in the middle of his nation, right in the middle of his capital city, Nebuchadnezzar erects this 90-foot statue that towers over the city, golden, and it's adorned in all of its jewels. And Nebuchadnezzar is so proud of this idol that he has erected. And the Bible gives an account that immediately upon the erection of this idol, Nebuchadnezzar sends a message to all of the governors of all of the provinces of Babylon, and he invites them to come to the center of the city, to the capital, and to worship the golden idol. The Bible, according to the text, many, many governors and leaders from the nation of Babylon gathered and assembled right around Nebuchadnezzar. He had musicians, a choir that was unparalleled and unmatched. He had musicians that were the best in the world. He had celebrated and set up a festival that was unlike anything the nation had ever seen to worship this new idol. And right here in the middle of Daniel 3, we see we are right in the middle of this festivity, right in the middle of this celebration. There are probably countless thousands of people who are gathered around to worship this 90-foot statue, musicians playing loudly, and Nebuchadnezzar issued this mandate. He said, as the musicians begin to play, as their harps begin to go and their trumpets blast, at that sound, everybody under the sound of these musicians must bow low on your face before this idol. This was his prized possession. This was the symbol of Nebuchadnezzar's pride, his prominence, and his power erected right in the center of his kingdom. And as soon as the musicians began to play and the trumpets blasted and the harps began to play, everybody along the countless thousands, the multitudes who were gathered, kneeled down and placed their face on the ground as though they were in submission to this foreign idol that was made of gold. All the multitudes bowed on their face, all but three. All but three humble, meek, Jewish young men named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Could you imagine? You got to paint the mental picture. We're talking about thousands, countless upon thousands of people, all bow at one time, yet three remain standing constant and remain steadfast through it all. It takes no time for the messengers of Nebuchadnezzar to get back to his palace. And they quickly arrive with the news, Nebuchadnezzar, your majesty, the festival's going great. The musicians sound awesome. The golden statue is unparalleled. But there were three Jewish men who refused to bow when the trumpets blew. And so Nebuchadnezzar, he called them immediately. He said, bring them into my presence immediately. And so quickly, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stand before Nebuchadnezzar. And this tyrant, looking them in the face, he pleads with them. He says, just bow. I'm going to give you another chance. Just bow before the idol. Just bow one more time. And as soon as you bow, everything will be okay in your life. Everything will go back to normal. Just bow. Just bow. But in his presence, they looked him in the eye and they said, we will not bow, for there is only one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And no matter what comes our way, if you throw us into the furnace, our God will deliver us. And I love what they said right in the middle of chapter 3. They said, but if he doesn't, he's still worthy, and you'll know that he is the true God Almighty. Picking up in Daniel chapter 3, verse 19, this is exactly where we are. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully clothed. And because the king in his anger demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames leaped out and killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell down into the roaring flames. But suddenly, as he was watching, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace? Yes, they said, indeed we did, your majesty. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see 4 men unbound walking around in the fire, and they aren't even hurt by the flames. And the fourth looks like a divine being. That's all I want to read to you right there from the book of Daniel. Truly an incredible story. Truly phenomenal. Doesn't even do it justice. This morning, I want to preach to you a message, part 3 of Tests and Trials, called Trial by Fire. And I want to start this morning's message with a very powerful quote from Spurgeon, who said this, God has had one son without sin, but he has never had a son without trial. I'm going to read that to you again. This is a quote from the famous theologian Spurgeon. He said, God has in fact had one son without sin, but God has never had a son without trial. This morning, I want to speak right into your life today, wherever you are in your struggle, in whatever season of life you are in. I want you to understand that if you are in fact a son of the Most High God, the fire will come your way. In obedience to God, it will cause you to sacrifice your reputation in the world. And if you are in the family of God, if you are truly a son of God, fire and trials will come your way. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Do not be distracted, but lift up your eyes to where your help comes from. God has a purpose for every fire in your life. God has a plan for every trial you face in your life. For every tear that you will ever shed, God has a plan for you through it all. This morning, if you are a son or a daughter of the Most High God, trial by fire will come your way. This morning, I want to point out to you 3 powerful aspects of Daniel chapter 3. And listen, Daniel chapter 3 is so rich, it's so deep, it's so incredible. We could like park here for like 6 months, but for the sake of your time, and I know that you want to beat the Baptists, the Presbyterians, and the Catholics to the steakhouse, we're going to keep it a little bit more short. And I'm just going to go over 3 things with you this morning from Daniel chapter 3. And the first of those things that I want to point out to you is that fire always reveals who's really with you. I'm going to say that again. Fire always reveals who's really with you. Now, I just want to rewind just a second, and I want us to picture ourselves living in Babylon during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. And I want you to imagine looking at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I want you to just get this picture in your mind. Here is the biggest festival you've ever seen, the most powerful monument your nation has erected at this point, or at least the most important in the current state. It's a huge celebration. It's a huge, huge festival. Imagine the friends of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Imagine the dudes that they hung out with, the dudes that they shot pool with, shot ball, hung out with. Imagine who they were hanging out with, their friends. And I want you to imagine their reaction as these events unfold in Daniel 3. I guarantee you that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had lots of friends. According to the Bible, they were prominent leaders in the nation of Babylon. And when you're a prominent leader, you have no shortage of friends. You have no shortage of yes men, people who want to get next to you for what you can do for them. But I can just imagine seeing all of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's quote-unquote friends as this event unfolds. Because see, when the furnace started to heat up, and the sobering reality faced them that if they weren't going to bow, they were going to be thrown in the fire. I guarantee you that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, all their quote-unquote friends, turned on them in the fire. They said, oh, those dudes? Nope, we don't know them. I've never seen them before. Oh, no, we didn't hang out last week. Nope, that's not him. I guarantee you that the fire weeded out the friends who were really there for him versus those who were really there for themselves. This morning, the fire and the trials that you face in your life, God will allow that to weed out the people that don't belong in your life. The people that are in your life just for what they can get from you. How many of you have ever had a friend that was with you as long as everything was going great, but the second that the money ran out, the second that you stopped doing what they wanted, they dropped you? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? The fire will always reveal who's with you and who isn't. The fire will reveal who's really your friend and who isn't. When the money runs out, when all the fun ceases, those who are really with you will stick with you. They'll persevere beside you. But those who are just there for the free ride, they'll walk away. Fire has a funny way of revealing who's really with you and who's really on your side. So this morning, I want to take that concept and I want to flip it just a little bit to you. I want to ask you, what kind of friend are you when somebody else is in the middle of a trial, when somebody else is facing financial crisis? Are you the friend that encourages them? Are you the type of person that throws your arm around them and tells them everything's going to be all right and no matter what, I'm going to be with you. No matter what, I'm going to help you through it. No matter what, I'm not going to leave you. Or are you the type of friend who, as soon as things get the tough gets going, you walk away too? What kind of friend are you this morning? In the tests and in the trials, the fire defines who your real friends really are. And this set me up perfect for the next point. Because no matter what test, no matter what trial, and no matter what fire faces your life, there is one friend who will never leave you. There is one friend who will never reject you. There is one friend who loved you when you had nothing to offer them. There is one friend who loved you in your darkest hour. There is one friend who loved you when everybody else walked away. And that is the God Most High. Jesus Christ Emmanuel, God with us. This morning, the fire shows who's really with you and who isn't. But I want you to know this morning, God isn't scared of your fire. Look at your neighbor and tell him, God's not scared of your trial. Tell him, let him know, God's not scared of your trial. No matter how dark it gets in your life, no matter how intense the fire is, no matter how hot the fire rages, The fire weeds out those who are with you from those who aren't, but it always reveals God is with you. No matter what, he doesn't leave you. He is the friend that sticks closer than any brother. He is the one who is faithful. He is the one who has been tried in every point, yet he remains steadfast. He is the anchor of your soul. And no matter what you're facing, just because everybody else walked out of your life, God never did. He is not afraid of your fire. He's with you. This morning, I want you to notice in Daniel 3, nobody saw God in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego until the furnace heated up. Nobody saw God in them until they were in the fire. You might ask yourself this morning, why am I walking through hell in my life? Why am I in the middle of the fire right now? Why is my world collapsing around me? Why is it hard for me to pay my bills? Why is it hard for me to overcome the addictions and the habits that are facing my life? Why is it hard for me to go through this season of life? Why am I in the middle of the fire? And I want to speak into your life this morning, because in the fire, it reveals who's really with you. The fire reveals that God is with you. And if God be for you, who in the world could be against you? It was in the fire that the kingdom of Babylon saw the angelic one, the God Most High, Christ, the epiphany of Christ revealed. The fire and the trials reveal God in you and reveal God with you. Do you believe the words that are coming out of my mouth this morning? You see, because when you're facing financial difficulty in your life and all your friends know about it, they know you're going through the fire. See, they're all watching. They're waiting for your response. But when you're able to be constant, when you're able to be cool under pressure, when you're able to say, I don't know where my next paycheck is coming from, but I know who is my provider. I know who holds my future. I know where my help comes from. See, in that instance, in the middle of that fiery trial, the world sees God with you. And the reason for your trial isn't always for you. Most of the time, the trials that you face in your life are so that God can be revealed through your life. So stop complaining about the difficulty that you're facing. Remember that anybody who's truly a son of God is going to go through the trials. Instead of complaining and murmuring and wandering around and being upset and angry and bitter at everybody about your situation, instead begin to rejoice, begin to worship, and be confident that in the middle of your trial, God is trying to reveal himself through you. If you believe it, give him praise this morning. Thank the God Almighty that he's with us in the middle of our trial. There's a purpose for it all. Remember that it was in the fire that God was revealed, even to the king. Nebuchadnezzar couldn't see God until he saw the fire. This morning, the fire that you're walking through in your life, God is with you, and he wants to be revealed through you in the middle of that trial. Sometimes fire weeds out those who aren't really with you. Point number one this morning, fire reveals who's really with you. It weeds out those that were just there for what they could get. And most importantly, it reveals the God who is always with you. I'm telling you, he's good, isn't he? Now, I want to take you just one more place here in Daniel 3. Because this one's epic. I don't know if you noticed in chapter 3, but it said that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they refused to bow. And so Nebuchadnezzar ordered his strongest soldiers to bind their hands and feet, that they were tied tightly, and they were carried to the furnace. And as the furnace raged 7 times hotter, the Bible says that the soldiers threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace while they were still bound, while their hands were still tied. I don't know if you read it, but here it is. I'm going to pick up in verse 20. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the blazing furnace fully clothed. Point number two in this message this morning is that often fire is the best way to freedom. Often fire is the best way to freedom. You see, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were bound up and they were thrown into the fire while they were still bound. But when they came out of the fire, Daniel 3 says that their clothes were not scorched. They didn't smell like smoke, but the cords that bound them, the shackles that ensnared them, were burned away. And you might have been thrown into the fire, bound up, but I have faith believing that you're going to come out of your fire free. You might have gone in facing a struggle. You might have gone in with your hands behind your back, but I'm speaking faith believing in the word that that fire is not only there to weed out who's with you and who isn't, but that fire is also the gateway and the threshold to your freedom. The fire burned off the shackles that bound Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You say, well, how does that relate to my life? How does that make any sense to me? And I'm going to take an official time out and tell you just a personal glimpse of how this is played out in your life. Recently, I have gone through some different situations and some different struggles, trials by fire, if you will, where I found myself, and I'm usually a pretty confident guy, I'm usually pretty confident in my life, but I found myself in a situation where I really didn't know which way to go. I didn't really know which was right and which was wrong, and I really was in the middle of a trial where I was being looked at from every angle, and everybody had an opinion, and everybody had an accusation, and I was right in the middle of a trial, and my soul was in turmoil because I didn't know which way to go. And I remember asking God, I was saying, and it went on for a few weeks, and I remember asking God, I was like, why? Why would you let me go through this pain right here? Like, this doesn't make sense to me. I'm doing my best to serve you. I'm not perfect, but I'm doing my best, God. Why am I going through this fire? And I know this with all certainty, that God spoke to my heart, and he said, Tyson, because if it weren't for this test, if it weren't for this fire, you would never have seen the deficiencies in your own life. If it weren't for this fire, you couldn't have seen the inadequacies, the impurities in your own life. And I'm just going to be real with you that one of the things that God revealed to me crystal clear through this fire and through this trial was that I was making decisions to please people. That I was so concerned, I had a character flaw where I was more concerned about pleasing people than even doing what was right. And it was not, I couldn't have seen it if it weren't for the fire. I couldn't have seen it if it weren't for the trial. I couldn't have seen it unless I went through the struggle. But right in the middle of that fire, I went in bound up, bound by people's opinions, bound by people's concern, bound by what everybody else thought I should do, and bound by what everybody else thought I should be. But it was in the middle of the fire that God revealed to me that I needed not be concerned about how people viewed me. I need to be more concerned about how he views me. And I need to make decisions not to make people happy, but I need to make decisions to make him happy and to please him. And all of a sudden, that revelation right in the middle of that fire set me free. And I was thrown in bound, but I came out free. And if you're thankful, you ought to give him praise this morning, because you've been thrown in bound, but you're going to come out free. Fire has a way. The tests and the trials of your life have a way of revealing the impurities and the character flaws in your own life, just like they did with me. And am I perfect? Far from it. But I can tell you something. I'm a different man. I'm a better man on this side of the fire than I was on the other side. I'm a more free man on this side of the fire than I was on the other. And you might be in the middle of your storm right now, and I just want to encourage you right now with the word of God that you might have gone inbound, but you are coming out free. He is going to liberate you right in the middle of your storm. And I'm just going to go a little bit further with this real quick. Because fire can liberate you. It absolutely can. I have known many, many people in the ministry, you know, through doing ministry, that have come to me and they've struggled with certain addictions and they've struggled with certain habits. And I've told them, hey, listen, this is the way to freedom. Christ is the only one that can satisfy you. But there have been many people who have ignored the advice. They've ignored the reading plans. They've ignored the counseling. They've ignored the mentoring. And they keep going back and they keep struggling. They keep going. And then they end up in the middle of the fire. They end up at rock bottom. And something hits them in the middle of the fire that couldn't hit them anywhere else. And all of a sudden, I have seen people gain a revelation of who God is calling them to be when they have hit rock bottom. Sometimes it takes the fire to set somebody free. Sometimes it takes the crucible to wake them up and enlighten them to the truth of God's plan and purpose for their life. This morning, don't despise the trial. Don't despise the struggle. Don't complain. Don't murmur. Because if you complain and if you murmur, you might just miss what God is trying to do with you in the fire. You can't complain and worship at the same time. You can't complain and bless him at the same time. If Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were complaining and murmuring and fighting in the middle of the fire, there's no way Babylon could have seen God through them. Your test and your trial is not because God is evil. It's not because God is mad at you. It's not judgment executed on you. Judgment was already executed on Christ Jesus 2,000 years ago when he was nailed and pierced to the cross. He took your judgment. He took your price. He took your penalty to liberate you and to set you free. But the trials that you're facing are to make you a better person tomorrow than you were today, to make you a more faithful believer tomorrow than you were today, to give you a stronger testimony tomorrow than you had today. I just got to take a time out real fast and tell you this. And I've said this here many times, but I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it again, and say it again. Revelation chapter 12 says that we are overcomers. We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. I want you to know this morning that you overcome darkness. You overcome evil when you have the testimony that God has brought you through something. Your testimony is what makes you an overcomer. And you could not have a testimony unless you went through a test. How could you glorify God? How could you witness him as healer if you never were stricken with a disease? How could you pronounce him as provider if you never had lack or need in your life? How could you proclaim him as deliverer if you never had an addiction in your life? God is not evil. He is not being mean to you. He is not kicking you while you're down. He's giving you an opportunity to overcome and bring glory to his name and triumph over the very darkness that held you in captivity. Give him praise this morning. He is awesome, and there's nobody like Jesus. You may have been thrown in bound, but I believe you're coming out free. You might have gone in with an addiction, but you're coming out free. I believe it in Jesus' name. But I got to point something else out to you. We're still on point two this morning, that often the fire is the best way to freedom. I got to point something out to you here, and this is insane. And I've read this a lot of times, but it didn't really click with me until this morning. And I want to show you this in verse 25 of Daniel chapter 3. Watch this. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. Look, Nebuchadnezzar shouted, I see four men unbound and walking around in the fire. Look at your neighbor and tell them they were walking in the fire. Y'all act so scared and so shy. They were walking in the fire. Tell your neighbor they were walking in the fire. There you go. There you go. We're not shy around here. Maybe we should be, but we're not. And I want to zoom in right here because this is epic. This is so epic. They were what? They were walking around in the fire. See, this is where, this is about to get real in here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound by their hands and by their feet. And they were thrown into the furnace by the strongest of the Babylon Empire. But as Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, he expected to see three men bound, laying down in the fire. But instead, what he saw were four on their feet walking. You know, there's a famous quote that says, if you're going through hell, keep going. And this morning, I just want to speak that over your life. If you're in hell right now, if you're walking through it, keep going. But let me put a little Bible on that, if you will. If you're in the trial, if you're in the fire, if you're in the storm, don't lay down, get up on your feet, and keep walking with Jesus. The key to making it through the fire is to keep walking with Jesus. So many people get in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the trial, they get mad, angry, and bitter at God, and they just lay down and take it. But that is not, we are not of them who draw back, according to Hebrews. We will stand up on our feet and advance with the purposes of God. In the middle of what you're going through, the worst thing you could do is lay down and take it. The worst thing you could do in your life is just lay down and accept it. Say, well, I'll always be in financial ruin. I'll always be poor. I'll never have enough to provide for my children. I'll never have enough to have the house that I need. The worst thing you could ever do is accept it. The worst thing you could ever do is say, well, I'll always be addicted. I'll always be an addict. I'll always struggle with alcohol. I'll always struggle with substance abuse. The worst thing you can do is lay down and take it. But this morning, I want to speak into your life to stand up right where you are, right in the middle of your fire, and walk with Jesus. Walking with Jesus will protect you through it all and will bring you through it. He is the only way out of the fire. He's the only way out of the fire. Without Jesus, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were goners, doomed. It's over. He's the only way out of the fire. He's the only way through it. Jesus Christ, the King of glory. And can I just get in your face for just another minute real fast? So many people, and I just got to drop kick this theology out of your mind. So many people, when they're in the middle of a trial, when they're in the middle of their struggle, they get in this mode of self-pity. Well, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. Look at all the times that I've messed up. Look at all the mistakes that I've made, and I can't walk with Jesus like this. I can't go to church like this. I can't serve God like this. Well, friend, you don't know Jesus because he's a friend of the sinner. He loves the broken. He loved you and died for you while you were yet a sinner. He saw something in you that nobody else could see and something that you could not even see in your own self. He says, this is one of my favorite verses in all the text. Jesus says, come to me just as you are. Stop trying to dust yourself off and to look presentable and to get this part of your life right and to please men over here and just take a deep breath and forget about what everybody tells you you should be and what everybody else tells you you should look like. Just take a deep breath and walk into the loving arms of Jesus right in the middle of your storm. You are never too dark for him. You are never too messed up for him. You are never too much of a sinner for him. He loves you more than you could ever imagine, but the only way you're coming out of this fire is if you're walking with Jesus. That's the only way you're walking out. Is if you're walking with Jesus. If you're going through hell this morning, keep going. Get up on your feet right where you are and seek a relationship with God. The Bible's, listen, we make this so complicated. The Bible says any man that would draw close to him, he will draw close to you. Speak to him, talk to him, call on his name and he will answer you. Problem is, we can't get off our cell phone long enough to hear from him. We can't turn off the TV long enough to hear from him. We can't stop talking to that girl or that guy long enough to hear from him. And we say, God, where are you? He's been talking the whole time. You just haven't been listening. The Bible says, be still and know that he is God. And if you're keeping track of the time, we're now moving to 3 out of 3 this morning. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to Psalm chapter 66. Beginning in verse 8. A really quick recap. Number one, the fire reveals who's really with you. Number two, often fire is the best way to freedom. And number three this morning, fire reveals what you're made of. Fire reveals what you're made of. Psalm chapter 66, verse 8. Let the whole world bless our God and sing aloud his praises. Our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling. You have tested us, O God. You have purified us like silver, melted in a crucible. You have captured us in your net and laid the burden of slavery on our backs. You sent troops to ride across our broken bodies. We went through the fire and flood, but you brought us to the place of great abundance. That's so beautiful and you didn't even know it. That's so epic and you didn't even know it. Psalm 66 is insane. It's just incredible. We could go off on Psalm 66 forever, but I'm going to try not to do that to you this morning. I'm just going to say what the Spirit's speaking, and we'll move on. But this morning, the third and final point today is that fire reveals what you're really made of. And I love how David, the psalmist, writes this in verse 10. He says, you have tested us, O God, and you have purified us like silver melted in a crucible. Now, this is just incredible, and I'm just going to do my best to walk you through this, but the Bible says that God has tested us like he has silver. And I want to just take you for the final moments this morning through the ancient process, the ancient silversmith's process of refining silver. Ancient silversmiths would do this for two reasons. Number one, they would test the silver, test the purity of it, to make sure that it was authentic, to make sure that it was actually what they said it was. They would test silver. And then number two, silversmiths would actually refine silver to strip away the impurities so that what is left is taintless, spotless silver. You see, but to understand this in the right context, you've got to understand just a little bit about a silversmith, and you got to understand just a little bit about the process of extracting silver. The first thing you got to understand is that silver is very rarely ever found in its pure form. In fact, almost always, when silver is mined or when it is found, it is combined, it is compounded with other base metals like copper, tin, other types of ore. Silver, when it's found in nature, almost always has other compounds and other impurities in it. You know, it's awesome to see how God reveals himself and his plan for us through his creation. Because like silver, all of us are born with a sinful nature. After the sin of Adam and the fall of one man, sin and a sinful, selfish nature has reigned throughout all of humanity. All of us in our natural form are compounded with some other impurities from the start. But notice I said almost always silver, because there is an exception. Sometimes silver is found in its purest form. God leaves an exception to the rule because his Son, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary, was the spotless one without blemish. But as for you and I, like silver, our natural state is to be compounded and combined with impurities. You say, well, I don't know about that. I don't believe that. Okay, well, do you ever have to teach a child to steal? When was the last time you taught a child to steal? When was the last time you taught a child to scream or to act a fool? You don't have to teach them that. You don't have to teach a child to be bad. You teach a child to be good, because in their natural state, they're born with a sinful nature. Now, when a silversmith finds that sample of silver, the first step in the refinement process is that the silver must be crushed. It must be beaten down to a pulp, almost into a dust-like state. But then after the silver is crushed and beaten down into the dust, it's not done then. Then the silversmith takes that silver and he takes it through a process called cupellation, which is where he puts it into an intense furnace, an intense heat. And it is the furnace blazes at an intense level. And they do this, the silversmiths do this process because they understand that silver, when it's placed into this furnace, silver has a higher melting point than any of the other impurities around it. So the fire melts away the copper, the fire melts away the tin, and the fire melts away every other impurity that did not belong, so that what comes out of the fire is silver in its finest and most pure state. Silver melts at 1,571 degrees Fahrenheit. But the lesser metals that attract to it, the lesser metals that are unpure, that cling to it, melt away at 600, 700 degrees Fahrenheit. So when the silversmith puts it in, all the impurities begin to fall and melt away. This morning, another purpose for the struggle that you're walking through. Yes, it's for the world that they would see who's with you. But it's also to burn away the iniquities of our own heart. The test and the trial by fire that you're facing in your life serves a purpose. Not just to glorify God, but to purify your heart. To remove the selfishness from within you. To remove the evil desires that are within us all. The Bible says that the heart of mankind is desperately wicked. And sometimes it takes intense heat to burn away the iniquities from our heart. I'm reminded of a verse where Jesus said, John the Baptist baptizes you with water, but I'm coming and I will baptize you with fire. In other words, I'm coming with the purpose of fire in your life to burn away, to melt down the impurities, to take away the things in your life that do not belong there, so that all that's left is pure silver that will reflect and radiate the glory and the light of God. This morning, your struggle is that of a silversmith refining his silver. God is at work in your life. He is taking away the selfishness. He's taking away the impurities. And all the while, you can't understand what's going on. He's doing a work right in the middle of where you are. He's doing a work within your heart and within your life. And the silver always comes out more pure than it went in. Let me pray over you this morning. Father, we thank you for the power of your word.